It's Wrinkled Sheets. It's Wrinkled Sheets. It's really kind of neat listening to Wrinkled Sheets. Yeah. Aloha, everybody.
Hi, I'm Janet.
Hi, I'm Steve. I'm not Janet, but I'm Janet's other half.
Yep.
Notice, better half.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's why I said other half first.
But yeah.
I didn't want to say better because people always say that. Oh, Janet, Steve's better half.
And Steve's like, thanks.
Yeah. Why do people say that?
I don't know. I think it's supposed to be like a compliment. Like instead of just, oh, it's his old lady or it's his girlfriend or it's his wife. It's his better half.
Yeah, I hear that a lot about you, but you're my old lady.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. How's your old lady?
I mean, is she your daughter? We got that on Facebook the other day. Is that your daughter?
No,
is that your girlfriend?
No, it said, is it your daughter or your wife? Yeah. Which was a very odd combo.
Yes.
Is that your daughter or your wife?
There might be a slight age difference. Or he's just really aging really quickly.
Or I just look really good. That's true.
Okay,
I do.
Okay. Yeah. We. I know. You know. You've gained some popularity on the Facebook front lately.
Uh huh.
And I have to kind of not pay attention to your Facebook. I can't look at the comments. Like I even tuned into your noodle chat.
Uh huh.
And some of the comments, I'm like, please don't call my boyfriend sexy. Please don't call my boyfriend sexy.
You don't like that someone might think that I'm sexy?
No. No. I don't know. I know that it's
you
best.
You don't like having a boyfriend that people would think might be a handsome guy?
Would you love to see guys saying things like that about me?
Well, yeah. Everybody wants somebody that other people would find desirable.
Yeah, but constantly?
No, not constantly.
Yeah.
No. But when you're as
and these are women that are older than me, so I have to like be like, yeah, Janet, you've got youth on your side. That's getting harder to convince myself as each year goes by, but you're younger than those women. You don't have as much baggage as a lot of people do.
Don't be jealous. And we should tell them what you're talking about, because I did a video that went viral. I mean, and when I say viral.
What is the definition of viral?
And when I say viral, viral means it actually blew up. I mean, seriously, not just a few hundred views, not a few thousand views.
It was like millions.
It was in the millions. Actually, I think at this point, it's 8.5 or 8.6 million views.
See, that's awesome.
And that's all new people.
Like you hear of people going viral.
Mm-hmm.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel very good, but nervous. Because it's never happened before. You know, I've done videos before,
right.
Clips, and you get a few hundred or maybe you get 10 or 15,000 people to like it or share it. And then when I saw it hit like, you know, 200,000, and our friend Jeremy said, it'll go 300K tops. He goes, that's what I think it'll do.
And you're like, 8.5 million, boom.
In your face. Yeah. But now I was talking to Chad Prather, who is another YouTube.
He's had a few viral.
And his latest just hit 19 million.
Oh, my gosh. And it's something about protesting.
It's about
right?
protesting the protesters. That's what his is. And so I'm talking to him about viral videos in general and, you know, what should I do or how to, you know, how do you capture this? Did you use it to keep going? And he said the hard part is catching that lightning in the bottle again, you know, and then don't be depressed when your next one doesn't go or the one after that doesn't go. But it doesn't mean they're not watching you. It doesn't mean you don't already have fans. It just means they're not.
Your audience has grown. Like
it's
you
already
had
grown.
Like 10,000 new followers.
I've had 21,000 new followers on Facebook.
Because you can't have any more friends.
Right.
So people
have
to follow you.
Me. So, yeah. So that's what the viral thing.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And it all happened when you weren't here. Like, you recorded it the night after you left here?
Yeah. I was laying in bed.
In Fort Worth.
And I was just scrolling through Facebook.
And it was
It was right after the election.
Saturday after the election? Mm-hmm. The Friday after the
and
election?
And I was reading all the posts of like, oh, America's doomed. This is the worst thing that could have possibly happened. Oh, you know. And I just made a viral video.
That was it was like a parody.
Yeah.
Of another girl's video.
Yeah. It was a parody of a girl that was like crying. It's horrible. America's over. We're done.
What's her name?
I don't remember. I
feel like since you did a parody, like it would only be.
But the sad part about it is my video went way bigger than hers did at all.
But you gotta like give credit.
Yeah, that's true. But I have no idea what her name was because I was just scrolling on Facebook and it kind of went, oh.
Let me see if I can find it. And so you've done a few videos since then.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing like 64,000. I think one hit 75,000 on YouTube.
That's crazy. Still.
So it's still good. It's just not 8 million people, which is mind blowing when you think about it.
Yeah. Like I was getting, messages from people back in Missouri, people that I've worked with in the past saying, oh, my brother, in Louisiana and my cousin or, and my friend in New York who don't know each other both shared Steve's video. And it's like, whoa.
And it was weird to get people saying, hey, I just saw this on our news. Hey, this was featured in our paper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that happened back home in Springfield, Missouri. One of the morning radio people that has been morning radio, I think, most of my life, shared your video and was like, hey, is this serious? I know. It's like, oh, that is crazy.
So if you haven't seen it, go to YouTube. I know it's on Facebook, but it's easier to find on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type in Steve McGrew.
Yes.
So you can't find that girl.
You sent it to me.
I know, but the point is her video was, it's obscure. It was one of those that didn't really do anything. And good for her. I mean, glad she did it. It inspired mine, but it was one of those that you go, huh?
Yeah. And it lit a fire in your
creativity.
Let your pilot fire.
So we've been gone for a while.
Yes.
And we shouldn't have because Spreaker picked up your podcast.
Oh, did they?
Well, remember I told you they featured it.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Uh-huh. And then they featured Wrinkled Cheeks also. And then we were like, oh, I've been out of town. We went on vacation. Mm-hmm. And it's been weeks since either one of us have been able to do podcasts. So.
But I feel like we do it, you know, regularly enough. People are busy.
No.
People are busy.
They're busy. No, I agree. And they're going to get busier during the holidays.
Right.
But I think people, as you do, they want their show. It's your weekly. It is your weekly show.
Yeah, I guess. Well, like my favorites, like if Grace Helbig, when she stops recording, like she does like that once a year and then she'll pick back up and do every single week. And it makes me sad when she's gone. But she's like energy in a bottle to me. But there's not like a lot of podcasts that I listen to. I'm okay if they did every other week.
Who are you listening to that you could say every other week?
Let's see.
No, you can't look. Supposed to know.
Hillbilly Nerd Talk is good, but I would be okay if they did every other week. The Lady Gang, they do every week, and I would be okay if they did every other week. I've been trying to get into Jenna and Julian's podcast, but
I do sometimes. I can't. Yeah. I'm not totally on board because I like them and I like their videos and their vlogs. But sometimes when I'm listening to the podcast, the same thing, I'll go, you're going off. Way too off subject for me.
Yeah.
Like I like podcasts that either talk about real life things or or teach me something that I've never heard before or find an article that I'd be really interested in that they're talking about.
Right.
But sometimes when you just start randomly talking about things I have no clue
like video
about.
Video
games or gamers or that kind of.
Another one that I've picked up lately is the one that Wendy Curtis and Rick do from
How
the
Comedy Works.
How Comedy Works. And like they do it every week. And some weeks are better than others. Mm-hmm. I got to say my favorite one so far is with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald. He is an amazing storyteller.
What stories did he tell?
Like his time working with Elvis, his time working with the Rolling Stones, and just his life is
He was
so,
a bouncer by saying working. Yeah. He was a bouncer.
Yeah, his life is had so many different adventures, and he has three doctorates. And
he's written books and textbooks.
Yeah, he's so intelligent. And when you meet him, you know, he's kind of a...
Oh, shucks, how
you
guys doing?
Kind of a dope, you know, kind of got that dopiness to him.
How you doing? How's the dogs?
But it's kind of a front. You know, hey, baby. He calls me baby, which at first I was like, whoa, I don't know you, dude. But yeah, so that's another good one. What do you have any new ones that you've discovered? We know you like
actually. No, I have been listening to less podcasts. I was thinking about this the other day, And it's horrible because I save them, but I haven't been listening to them because I'm YouTubing more. YouTube has kind of replaced my podcast addiction.
But what
for
about
a while.
When you drive and stuff?
I listen to talk radio. And I should be listening to podcasts more, and I know I should.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I got distracted by all the election and political talk and what was going on.
I think you did.
I think I did. But
I think you still are. Like, I turn around and I'm like, please don't Facebook while we're driving. Please.
Well, something annoyed me and I had to post.
I know. And I'm sure it had to do with election. Hello? Hello? I can't hear. Okay.
Is that better?
Yes. Okay. Stop messing with things while we're recording. It jacks with my concentration. Yeah. So you definitely got into it. Like, Fox News is on. All TVs in the house.
No, one's on Fox, one's on Sky News.
Not when I come. When I've been coming home from work. It's like Fox News.
Well, you say it like it's a bad thing.
It's just a little intense.
Oh.
Like when you come home from work and you want to decompress.
You're ready to chill.
You don't want to think for a bit. And it's like, please stop complaining about everything that you don't agree with. Just shh. Not you, the TV.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
So we also have been gone. That's where I was going with this. We have been gone and went on vacation, actual vacation.
The best vacation I have ever had in my life.
And I will let Janet tell you about the vacation.
So we went to Hawaii. We stayed on Oahu, on Waikiki. And it was amazing. The first night we got there and we should be very tired because we gotten up pretty early.
Didn't sleep well the night before.
Didn't sleep during the flight really because it was the most uncomfortable plane ever.
I think we had America Airlines' oldest plane ever. There were actually ashtrays on the plane.
They weren't being used, of course, but yes, it was insane. So we get there, we get checked in and like, my eyes were heavy. They were tired, but my brain and my like heart were like excited.
I'm in Hawaii.
So I'm like, let's go. And we had been there once before. Mm-hmm. We had gone with some friends, but this time it was just us. So like whatever you and I wanted to do, and we're pretty similar in that we're pretty chill.
Very chill. What do you want to do today? I don't care. You want to go sit on the beach and do nothing? Okay.
Let me grab my floaty and my SPF. So the first night we're like super excited. We walk down, we're trying to find something to eat because we really hadn't eaten all day. And, I think I was so tired that I couldn't really decide on anything. And then like we found the perfect thing and my friend Beverly kind of made fun of us. She's like, your first night in Waikiki and you ate at food trucks. I'm like, yes, it's this like court with like, probably six different food trucks.
Yeah, it's made to look like a trailer park.
Yeah,
with food trucks.
It has the fake grass, the picnic tables, and that was just really cool.
And the food was really good.
Yeah, we had some shrimp, and it was like fresh shrimp.
Yeah, you had was it garlic shrimp?
Mm-hmm.
You had garlic shrimp, and I had
spicy
hot spicy shrimp.
Yes,
and it was so good.
So
and it really
good.
Was weird because we were just walking around. I don't know. What do you feel like? I don't know. I don't feel like that really. But
well, I was tired, and I couldn't, I knew I was hungry.
But didn't know what you wanted.
But I couldn't decide. And even when we got to the food trucks, I walked around all of them and I'm just like.
Burgers, noodles.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Hawaii 5-0, like, because the big guy has a shrimp truck, made me go with the shrimp truck.
And you got to go with the shrimp truck. When you go to Hawaii,
so
you got to go with the shrimp truck.
So good. And then, we went to the beach most days and all I needed was my floaty and my SPF. Like, that's it. Like, I would wake, I couldn't sleep in because I kept waking up excited.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like go and I'd walk down to the pool. I went and got coffee. I went to the ABC store while you slept in because I was just excited. I wanted to be at the beach. I wanted to get my floaty on. And
get my floaty on.
So ridiculous. I've told everyone I've talked to about the vacation. I was like, it's the best vacation. You know, Steve and I, so chill together. All I need is my floaty and the ocean, and I'm good. I think the one thing I wanted to do was either go to Paradise Cove
mm-hmm.
or Honamu Bay. And I didn't quite know why, because those are the two places that people were telling me that we needed to go. And I understand why. Like, snorkeling, I never snorkeled before. And I was just like, in awe. Just like,
look at all those fish.
Put your head down. Like, I remember like the first time I went out and I'm just like, all right, getting the hang of this, like breathing through the tube thing. And I'm like, oh, that's a school of fish right there.
Right in front of your face.
They're surrounding me.
And they're brightly colored.
I was like,
it's like swimming in an aquarium.
It like took my breath away. I had to stand up because I think I inhaled some water. Yeah, it was amazing. That's probably the only thing that I was like, we need to do. Well, that and Aloha Stadium, the swap meet.
Swap meet. Tell people about that.
So the swap meet, it's at Aloha Stadium, which is like a
football stadium.
And it's outside the stadium in the parking lot. And they have vendors set up all the way around the stadium. So you walk. It's like it took us probably 3 hours,
yeah,
three and a half hours to walk the entire thing. And there's a lot of the same vendors. We were able to find
type of vendors.
Yeah. We were able to find your spiky star fruit.
God, wish it Ramadan.
It's not Ramadan.
It's not Ramadan. No, it is not Ramadan.
But that's what I always want to call it. It's spiky. It's
spiky,
really
red
delicious.
Fruit.
We got some Christmas gifts from that adventure. And it was nice. And it was my first time Ubering. I Ubered for the first time in Hawaii, and I found that to be exciting.
How'd you like it?
It was a lot of fun. And then you actually picked up some work.
Rambutan.
Rambutan.
That's the spiky fruit that you had for the very first time. Rambutan.
Yeah.
It's a colorful and spiky tropical fruit with a sweet taste. There's nothing like it.
No.
There's nothing.
It's not tart. It's just perfect.
And perfect. I forgot what it was. Something caught my eye. We were walking around and something caught my eye.
It's like your brain went to that place.
But it wasn't – I didn't know that fruit was there. There was it was fresh coconut.
Yeah.
That's what it was. The guy was chopping fresh coconut and I walked over and you looked down. You go, there's that fruit you like.
And I had only seen it in your vlogs.
That's the only place. Yeah. And the only place I'd ever seen it
and
was in Thailand.
And we bought everything he had.
We bought one. He goes, buy two and I'll throw in the third one because it's all I have. Okay.
Yeah. We spent $25 on this fruit and it was worth it. Definitely
worth it. I
would
so do it again. Well, I looked it up on Google. I Googled it to find it and it's $32 for 2 pounds.
Wow.
And so it's an expensive fruit.
Right.
And I always wonder about buying it online because as you saw, a lot of weight is in the outside because you have to crack it open.
Right.
And then you eat the inside of it, but you actually have to crack an outer shell kind of thing.
It was so good. We immediately found a place to sit and started cracking.
Mm-hmm. And remember those ladies came up?
Yes.
What is that? What are you eating?
And you said it was similar to what?
A leche.
Yeah.
Leche fruit.
It's like in that family. But that was so good. And then you picked up some work. So one day we flew from Oahu to the Big Island and we flew to Hilo.
Spent the night in Hilo.
And that's kind of like small town Missouri feel. Like mentally, I had to keep like correcting myself. I'm like, I feel like we're in Missouri, but we're not. We're in Hawaii.
Isn't it strange? And I pointed out to you how those small towns in Hawaii look like old West towns.
Yeah. 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 And I think that's
all
why.
Because they're false front buildings. They're like an old West town.
Yeah. And they had these very loud frogs that like to sing to you all night long. But then the frogs went to sleep and the sun came up.
We went to, because where I was working, they put me up in this hotel. It's called the Wild Ginger or something like that. And it's a hotel hostel.
Yeah, yeah.
And we checked in and both went, oh, hell no.
It was dark. It was the, like, shower. Okay, you walk in your room. There's no air conditioning.
No air conditioning.
There's a fan.
No phone.
No phone. There's a window that's open, and these frogs had already started
singing. Are screaming. The frogs are screaming.
And there's earplugs, and with a little note that says, sorry about our frogs, here's some
earplugs.
I'm like, oh, dear God. And then you look in the bathroom, and I swear the shower looked like it was straight out of a prison.
It was like a prison shower. It was like a just
Not
seriously.
That either of us have been to prison, but it's what I picture.
Well, it's like you see in the movies.
Yeah, and it's
just, it's like a gym shower.
Yeah, but a really old gym.
Right.
And we're like, there's like, it's green. It's built up green all around this place. I'm like, oh my gosh, someone could totally be killing people in this. But.
Well, that's what I worried about with the window being open. You know?
Yeah.
Even if you lock the door, someone could come through the window and kill you at night.
Yeah. That's the one night I drank a little bit more than I should. And I think it was just because I was not super comfortable in that hotel.
But you know what? I ended up with the earplugs and the night air. Maybe the frogs even did it. I slept pretty good after I got got the earplugs.
Thankfully, one of my earplugs fell out. So when our travel buddy, the other comedian,
Jose,
because all the windows were open, he was at like 8:30. He's like, Steve, I could hear him. But had we both had our earplugs in, we would not have been able to hear. You had to do a radio interview.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we decided, because I did the radio interview, came back to the room.
Yeah.
They had this whole little morning breakfast thing spread out.
And when the sun came up, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. It was like banana trees yeah. all around it. It was a gorgeous little setting. And we both decided, you know, we'd not do this again.
Yeah.
We would stay here again.
And when we got to Hilo, we actually, before we saw this lovely place, we went to the lava fields, mm-hmm. which I'm an idiot, and didn't even know that lava was still flowing.
You did no idea?
No. When they were like, oh, yeah, it's still flowing right over there. I'm like, what the? We never actually got to see the flowing lava, but we saw these lava fields that were from like the 80s when the lava.
You could see the smoke in the distance of the lava that was still going. But
yes, but we couldn't actually – we didn't go to the lava.
And I decided now I want to own one of the lava lots.
Yeah.
We met a comic. He and his girlfriend own a lot with a – shed thing on it, and they're building homes on these lava lots. There's nothing but lava, and it's kind of cool. And you're right by the beach, you're right by the water. It's just where the lava has flown in, rolled down, cooled off
from the 80s, like it's when the 80s. It was crazy. And then so you performed in Hilo that night.
Mm-hmm.
We got up the next day and we drove.
And you were hungover really bad.
Oh, so hungover. And then we drove from Hilo to Kona. And on the way, we stopped by the Black Sand Beach that had 20 turtles plus. They were just everywhere.
Sea turtles. Big sea turtles. Sea turtles
just chilling.
And I didn't know that sea turtles would lay there and throw like sand up on themselves. Like they would just lay there and – I wonder what that does.
Maybe the sand is cool when they do that.
Flip it up on their backs or something. I don't know.
But I had to go swimming. Like I didn't bring a towel. I wore my bathing suit. I was smart that way but didn't bring a towel. But there was a vendor on the beach selling towels.
One vendor on the beach.
He was this very smart
enough
man.
To go, you know, I bet people come down here and don't bring towels.
Don't plan on it. Yeah, you pull, the Black Sand Beach. And I just had to. I had to swim in it.
But you got a cool towel.
I did.
I have to say that. Janet comes over. She goes, you got any money on you?
You got cash?
I go, why? She goes, I'm going to buy a towel. And you got a really cool beach towel. It's old. It looks – it's retro Hawaii with the logos and stuff. So it's a very cool towel.
Thanks. Thank you. You bought it.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went to Kona. Kona was very, you know – nothing
we didn't see enough
to write home about. It's just kind of your normal city. It has, you know, the Taco Bell, has bars, has.
Yeah, but like I said, you did not get to see enough of it.
Okay.
We got the downtown part of it, instead of the beachy area, the cliff.
Oh.
You know, the where the beach houses are. We kind of went right into the city, did a show, and left immediately the next morning.
Yes. Yes.
So I would have to say we neither one of us saw
Kona.
Yeah.
And then we flew back to Oahu and you performed and we had our last night and we went to Honamu Bay. The coolest thing is that on one of those days where we walked down to the Hilton where they film a lot of Hawaii 5-0, they weren't filming at the time, but we walked down there, and then we walked the beach back and we decided right in front of the Shorebird, which is one of your
favorite bar restaurants.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, we'll chill here. Janet will get her floaty out and go swimming. And it was a little overcast that day.
It had rained a little. Yeah. It was raining a little
bit. But that's okay, you know.
It was beach.
You're at the water. And we're like looking at the water and just chilling. And I thought I saw something like pop up. And I'm like, no, Janet, you're crazy. And then this girl next to us is like, did you see the turtles? I was like, what? And this is before we went to the Black Sand Beach. Yeah. I was like, what are you talking? What? There's sea turtles?
And when you said that, I thought, I don't see it, but I kept seeing like a head. I thought it was a human head pop up.
Yeah.
That's how big those turtles were.
Yeah. So I was a little scared because I'd never been around. But I did make my way out and ended up pretty close to them. And I'm like, holy cow, they're massive. But they didn't come after me. Mm-hmm. But it makes your heart go,
what if they bump into me?
Right.
What if they swim into me?
You're not supposed to touch them. You're not supposed to mess with them at all. It's illegal.
You're supposed to stay 25 feet away from a sea turtle.
Yeah, but this water was kind of murky, so you couldn't
tell where they were.
Yeah.
As you can see by, eventually I will get this edited and posted.
I don't believe you.
Janet took, we went back again another day.
With the GoPro.
Yeah. And she was afraid that we weren't going to be there, and they weren't for a while. We laid out there and didn't see them.
But,
and then they came back. The turtles were back.
There's three of them.
And Janet got some really interesting shots with the GoPro. And you didn't even know you got them.
No, because I was next to it, and I knew I was next to it, so I just put the GoPro down and tried. I was like, this is all I can do.
And which is what it looks like. It's almost like a Blair Witch Project.
Oh, dang.
Because you see this dark, murky water, and all of a sudden, like, a turtle just comes up into the shot and then disappears. And then another one will come by. You'll see a fin come by the front of the camera. That's how close it was to the camera.
It was so close. Oh. Hmm. We didn't see any sea turtles at Hunama Bay, but we saw a lot of awesome fish. A
lot of fish.
They were so cool.
Now, I thought one of the coolest things on the trip was Halloween. We went to dinner.
So crazy.
We went to dinner at this little place, a hole in the wall. Remember what the name was? Roughage or something?
Yeah. Yeah. I had like an eel bowl that was like eel, seaweed, and rice. So good.
Yeah. And I had some noodle. I think I had a spicy noodle bowl. Duh. And we were just walking. It was just,
and you
just
wanted boba tea.
And
you're
I
want some boba tea.
I want some boba tea. And I put it in the GPS. We started to walk, turn a corner. And it was like out of a movie. We turned a corner and walked right into thousands of people.
Like both sides. It was the street that lines Waikiki. Do you know?
I can't remember the name of it. It's a Hawaiian name. Like Kamawaka Lada Nui Lada Papa.
So like both sidewalks are just packed. All ages. No one's getting out of hand. It was very cool. They're just walking. It was insane.
But wasn't it weird how we seriously turned the corner and we were in this thing? Just like, what did we walk into here?
And at first, like, I'm like, oh yeah, it's Halloween. There's some people. Oh my gosh, there's a lot of whoa, there's people everywhere.
For like a mile or two, if not long. It was just the entire street.
And we had been in the sun that day, so I was getting a little tired.
Then all it did for me was energize me. I was like, I was walking around with the video camera. And like, I shot the vlog.
It's 9:30. Let's go to bed.
And I'm like, it's 9:30. It's Halloween night. These people are just about to come out dressed like this. It was just getting bigger.
Oh,
and
I can only imagine. I bet like later in the night it got a little crazy.
Crazier?
Once the kids got away
and maybe there were more adult costumes started coming out.
I saw some college kids that were like a little toasted.
The scantily clad nurses and the.
And then the next morning, I got up and walked to the ABC store and I saw fishnets on the ground, parts of costumes. I was like, well.
It must have gotten rowdy out there.
It must have gotten real rowdy.
Nice.
But it was an amazing trip. Amazing.
International market for anybody that's been to Hawaii before.
Waikiki.
I mean, yeah, Waikiki, Honolulu, knows that the international marketplace there in Waikiki has always been this staple of Waikiki to me. It was all these just hundreds of booths and under these couple of big giant trees, and it's gone.
It is.
It's gone.
They have the signs up.
Still says
they probably
International
have
Marketplace.
To.
And there's these signs that say the history of the international marketplace, and it's got all the old pictures. Mm-hmm. But it is now just officially.
That has like high-end stores.
High-end. It's the Galleria. I mean, it might as well be called the Galleria. It's all these top-end shops and restaurants. And I'm like, oh, man. Because I liked going and looking at all the little – the eclectic, tacky Hawaii stuff. The coconuts and the ukuleles and the hand-carved tikis. And that was the kind of stuff that it was.
Like you have to go to the Aloha Stadium for
that
now.
That kind of stuff now, yeah.
Yeah, the change happens.
Change happens.
Change happens.
Yeah, so that was our vacation. Anything else about the vacation that you saw, remember? Or?
It was just so memorable, like so memorable.
You want to describe your Uber experience? Because maybe people have never done Uber.
So I had never done Uber. And we found that it was cheaper than doing taxis. It was cheaper than doing like shuttle services.
It was cheaper than renting a scooter.
Yes.
Which I wanted to do.
The only problem is that, like, in a place like Waikiki, where the buildings are so tall and so close to each other, the pin drop, they had trouble finding us a couple times. Like,
well, they just called. We go, we're on the next block over.
Yeah, like when he was picking us up from the Aloha Stadium, he's like, so are you at Pearl Harbor or on the freeway? Like, well, not on the freeway.
Then we're not at Pearl Harbor.
No, we're at Aloha Stadium. Oh, because it was going off the pin drop. But yeah, and another time they were coming to get us at our hotel, and he's like,
he was the block behind the hotel.
He's like, I'm here at this place. And I'm like, I'm not from here. This is my address. Well, where is that? I don't know. I'm a tourist.
That's why we hit the little pin drop button thingy.
But it was pretty easy. But we did find out that Uber, you have to tip them cash. You don't have the option to tip them through the app.
Right, but you don't have to tip.
You don't
them.
Have to.
It is not a requirement. It is supposed to be Uber, because we Googled this to see. Uber is supposed to be a cashless procedure. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it says if you wish to tip them, you can tip them in cash. Right. But a tip is not required.
Right.
So we felt bad because the first guy we didn't tip.
Because we had no idea.
We had no idea. I thought, oh, it's supposed to be everything's included. So I thought, well, the next time we did, I want to look this up just to see.
And the second guy was a little weird.
You think so?
Yeah, we were driving, and like his rearview mirror, he like flipped it up just for a little bit. Like, and then he flipped it back down. Like he didn't want to look behind him.
Maybe he just didn't want to see you.
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, well, maybe. But then he flipped it back down. I was like, well, maybe.
Well, maybe then he wanted to see you.
I don't know, but he was kind of weird. And he was the one that was like, hey, that's Obama's favorite fast food. He didn't say much the whole ride. That's Obama's favorite fast food place. Okay.
Okay. Keep going.
Yeah.
He wasn't the one that was the young guy that looked like the rapper.
This guy reminded me of maybe a professor in college.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had classical music going. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, does he listen to classical music to keep himself calm? Like, maybe he could go crazy, especially when he flipped up his mirror. I was like, dude, weird.
What, are you still of the belief that Uber might just drive you out somewhere?
Might kill me. Like, when you schedule an Uber, you should have an emergency contact that's not riding with you that gets notified when you reach your destination.
Is that your you should add this to your app kind of thing?
Yeah. So, like, here, Kathy Lewis in Minnesota, I'm in Hawaii, I'm getting on an Uber, I'm going from here to here.
And if you don't get alerted that I've arrived.
I have arrived here, please call 911.
Well, that's probably not a bad idea, actually.
Because you've heard horror stories.
Yeah. But not real horror stories. Y'all hear horror stories about how they've been bad or they've
Bad drivers,
or they've harassed people, but not nothing like. Then they drove them down an alley, and they chopped them up, and they fed them to the fish before they went snorkeling.
You know, a lot of people kind of rolled their eyes or shook their head at me even after we got back, and I was telling them the story because people kept going, "Hey, have you hiked Diamond Head? Hey, have you gone up the mountain?" And I'm like, "I'm from Colorado. If I want to hike a mountain, I can."
It's the beaches we don't have.
Well, I don't have a beach. I don't want to get sweaty and hike a mountain when there's a beach right there.
With turtles.
And my floaty and I can just chill. And then walk to the shorebird, get a $5 Mai Tai, and walk back to the beach.
Okay, speaking of floaties, we are down on the beach. Laying there. And Janet comes back up out of the water, and she's all smiley, and she's got her floaty with her.
Because I had just seen a turtle.
And the lady next to her goes, does that hold you up?
I'm like, because it's not your typical floaty. It's actually very awesome because it's easy to travel with. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take long to blow up because
it's a floaty ring with a net.
Yeah, it's like like the floaty ring itself is maybe like 2 inches wide.
It's like one of those tubes, noodles.
And it goes around the net and you just sit in the net. And yes, it held my fat ass up.
I don't think that's what she was saying.
I
think
she
was being.
Felt like.
I know, because you were like, why would she say that? Why? I think because it looks so lightweight.
Yeah, because you see these people with like these massive things that took them like 10 minutes to blow up. And I'm like, 2 minutes, blown up, walk out to the water, sit down, and they're still sitting there blowing. So I think they were a little jealous.
But was she the one that ended up hanging out with you and going out?
She's from Seattle, and she was really nice.
Okay.
But.
Are we ready to do it again?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, you know, I can't afford to right now.
Should I tell the Hawaiian story of why you chose Hawaii? Or what you.
You tell everyone else. Why not? Have you not told them on the podcast?
Oh, the dog farted.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
She looks very relaxed. So let's take a break and let that clear
out. Hold on.
And let's save and we'll come back.
Okay. Hold on. And we're back.
We are.
We're back. We've been having a little bit of difficulty with the computer for whatever reason. And Janet has had a few of her shows disappear.
Just disappear.
Like they record, you see the sound.
We're good. We go to save it, and then
it's gone.
Like 5 out of 40 minutes is there. So we've learned that we need to stop
and save every once in a while. So we just save that section, and now on to part two of Wrinkled Sheets.
Okay, so you were going to tell a story about the Hawaii.
Oh, okay. You had come home from work one day, and you were like, I need something to look forward to.
I did.
I need something to look forward to. And I was like, okay, well, what do you want? I want to go to Hawaii. Are you trying to turn the heater off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Carry on.
Oh, okay. I want to go to Hawaii. And I was like, all right, well, let me pull up my travel site, the site that I use for, and I look up Hawaii, and I also look up somewhere else. And I come to Janet, and I go, look, for the exact same price, you can do 9 days in Hawaii or 7 days in Venice, Italy. And she goes, Hawaii.
Yeah. No, there was no question. And you have told a lot of people that story.
And they go, what?
You know what? Y'all can do what y'all want to do. But I am going to go where I want to go. I want it to be warm. I want it to be beautiful. I want it to be tropical. Right now, it's 54 and foggy in Venice. It's 80 degrees and warm in Hawaii.
I understand what you're saying. I hear you. But the whole
it's
thing...
It's raining every day in Venice. I have their weather pulled up. It's not much better than here.
What to say right now? What's the weather in Venice?
I just told you. No, it's 56 and foggy.
For like the week. Does it show it? Or is
yes.
It, okay, what?
So for the week, tomorrow, cloudy and 59. Thursday, rain and 59. Friday, rain and 59. As opposed to sunny and 80.
Okay, I get your point. But everybody is like, why would you choose Hawaii over Venice?
So, and,
the history of
and
the
canals.
And
you like to tell that story, and it kind of makes me feel bad because these people are like, why wouldn't you want – you know what? I work my butt off during the week, and when I'm at work – I want to relax. I'm not all about going to one of the oldest places in the world to tour things that have been alive for a very long time and
are dead for a really long time.
Or dead for a very long time.
You would rather go to the beach and eat off a food truck.
Yes. Eat some ahi poke.
Oh, that was some good poke.
That was some
poke,
good poke.
I think they say poke. We called it poke, but didn't Jose and the guys keep calling it poke?
I didn't catch that.
Oh. But it was really good. One of the best restaurants we ate was right there by on Waikiki.
And we ate there twice.
Twice. And it's right there by the Duke statue.
Mm-hmm. And it was just a walk-up window.
But they had some amazing poke. What are you looking up?
I have a couple stories, but I don't know if we're going to get to them.
Well, let's get to them.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah. We've taken people on our vacation long enough.
You think they're jealous enough now?
No, I think they hate us now.
Probably. So I found an article. It's from the Mirror UK. So it does not relate to McDonald's here in the United States, but it relates to McDonald's in the UK.
Okay.
Yes. So none of this McDonald's talk that we're about to have affects any of the United States McDonald's.
But don't turn us off.
No, because I find this to be very interesting. So people are already enamored by the idea of the brand new McFlurry that McDonald's is rolling out in the UK. It's I hate pop-ups. It's the Terry's Chocolate Orange McFlurry.
Oh, like the chocolate
yes.
oranges. Oh, I love
yes.
those.
So McDonald's has released its Christmas menu for 2016, and that's probably the most enticing new addition. And let's see what else is happening. In addition to that, let's see. It's all about Terry's. Terry's chocolate oranges, which you can get at Walgreens here in the U.S. But they're like in awe of it. Someone tweeted, I haven't been to McDonald's since I got food poisoning there in the mid-90s, but the Terry's chocolate orange McFlurry might tempt me back. But they haven't stopped there. The fast food restaurant is also bringing out a festive cheese feast, a spicy chicken winter melt, a cheese melt dippers, and a chocolatey Banoffee pie, all of which sound like crowd pleasers, I guess. But people are a little annoyed because last year they had what was called the festive pie, and it's not coming back this year.
What was in the festive pie, does it say?
It doesn't. No, but people are angry.
Well, you know, that the one you just read about, I haven't been there in years, but it lured me back.
Mm-hmm.
We could say that tonight for us.
Us, no, you. It was just you.
It was us, wasn't it?
No, it was just you.
Really?
Yes.
All right. I had a hankering because of the commercial, and I even said this to Janet. The commercial obviously worked. I have not been to a Dairy Queen for food in years. It's one thing to go have an ice cream.
Yeah, we've done like a run for ice cream.
Ice cream. But I had a hankering for the chicken.
A hankering for a
chicken fingers basket with the gravy and fries.
With gravy.
And we went.
We did.
And how was it?
It was good. It was good. I didn't want to order any food because I'm trying to be healthier and I had healthy dinner on my mind. And this was like 3:30 in the afternoon. I didn't order anything, but I picked off the kids' plates and your plate. And afterwards, I felt like crap and I wanted to go to bed. And I'm just like, I shouldn't have eaten that crap food.
Did you think it make you felt bad?
Yeah. Like, I definitely felt like, bleh.
Really?
I've noticed that recently when I've been choosing to eat healthier.
Uh-huh.
So when I make decisions to not eat healthy, I'm like, ugh.
Uh-huh. Well, I have to say, I have not had a chicken fingers basket from Dairy Queen in probably 20 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I just enjoyed the hell out of it. It took me back to a time like just going to Dairy Queen.
And you got a dilly.
And I got a dilly, too, a dilly bar.
Which I didn't even know what that was.
Oh, see? Life is new to her every day.
Stop it.
So what's the next story?
So Coca-Cola had to answer some questions recently because let me talk.
Okay.
This year's Christmas commercial is missing the Santa wink. Again, this is from the UK. Santa has never actually winked in one of the Coca-Cola's famous Christmas ads. It's hard to believe we know if we were convinced that the animated Father Christmas on the back of the branded truck had a cheeky wink. Well, people thought it happened at the end of the advertisement, or in this article, they call it the advert. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the UK calls it. But it's an urban myth, Coca-Cola said. Yeah. Like, I can visually
see the picture of Santa giving the, like, the...
So, this year, when the 2016 campaign hit the screens, people clamored onto social media to declare their collective dismay of the lack of the wink. And so, Mirror Online contacted Coca-Cola GB, which is Great Britain, to ask why the company decided to take the wink away, and the response alarmed them. We're delighted to see so many people were watching closely when the holidays are coming ad returned to screens on Saturday night. The ad has been on screens for 21 years, but we have to admit that Santa has actually never winked at the end of the commercial. So what they did is they called up the ad and from the archive, and Santa hasn't winked in 21 years of this commercial.
It must be just a poster of him winking.
No, it's that. Like, people just, a lot of people, and I can visually.
I can. That's picture. Why you saw me go, like, I kind of see him holding up the Coke bottle. That's not it.
Is he
squinting in it, maybe? Is he kind of squinting?
His cheeks are round and, I don't know. No.
Oh. The internet. They figure things out.
So, this year's version of the commercial is only 30 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't include the segment where Santa has a gulp of cola. That is a change. Yeah.
Polar bears coming back?
I don't know. That's in the U.S. Maybe I need to go to a U.S. news source for some news.
Maybe I should go to a U.S. news source for U.S. news.
So, according to Yahoo, one of your favorite chocolate bars, the Toblerone?
Yeah.
Toblerone?
Yeah.
I think that's from the UK? Geneva?
Yes.
But this year...
Geneva's Switzerland, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we get it in the UK.
Yeah. So, the maker of the Swiss chocolate has widened the spaces in some of its iconic triangle array bars, offering about 10% less product for the same price.
Why?
And fans are pissed. The multinational says the move, which affects products globally, though mainly in Britain, was necessary to cope with higher prices for ingredients. But many consumers are livid at the perceived sleight of hand and the change to the traditional look of the treat, first created in 1908. So if you look...
you could definitely see the difference in the peaks and valleys of the chocolate.
Yeah, and I'll send you this picture so that when you post the podcast, maybe you can...
Put that up on the webpage.
So that's some news. It's still not U.S., I guess.
That's okay.
But Toblerone is getting smaller. Oh, there was a college student, from Manhattan, Kansas. So Hershey has come to the rescue of this college student who had his Kit Kat bar stolen. Kansas State University student Hunter Jobbins tells the Wichita Eagle he left his car unlocked with a Kit Kat in the cup holder last month before running into his dorm building. When he came back, the candy bar had been replaced with a note. The thief wrote, "I love Kit Kats, so I checked your door and it was unlocked. Did not take anything other than the Kit Kat. I'm sorry and hungry." Jobbins' picture of the note went viral on Twitter, and Hershey responded by sending a representative to the campus with 6,500 Kit Kat bars. And so Jobbins stuffed the bars in his car and handed them out around campus.
Now, why wasn't the chocolate bar melted in his car?
Because it was probably not in the dead of summer.
Oh, look at that picture.
It's in Kansas.
That thing is packed with Kit Kat bars.
Yeah, so...
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
So there's been some changes here in our household. There's been some, shifts in territory.
Uh-huh.
So when I first moved in here... And if you listen to Steve's comedy, you've heard kind of a story similar to what actually happened. but comedy is comedy.
Are you saying it's not true?
No. And there have been multiple times where I'm like, is this how you really feel? And every time you're like, no. So I have a cat that I have had since 2004. I actually lived with my grandmother when I got her.
Pooh Bear.
Yeah, I saved her. I almost hit her and her siblings one night on a dirt road in Missouri. And I went back and she was the only one hanging out. Anyway, so she's like my bud. So when I moved in with you, I'm like, okay, I have a cat. You had two dogs at the time. And
the cat must live in the basement.
And I was like, you know, the cat can probably live in a room or something. And you're like, well, why don't you put her in the basement? And I'm like,
Well, it's a full giant. The basement is as big as the house.
It's huge. It's a huge basement. But this is a cat that I had grown accustomed to interacting with multiple times a day. And I kind of did have some nightmares about it. Like after I moved in and she was in the basement and I'd wake up and have to walk down here and
see if she was
pet her and stuff. But. At the time, you had an older dog. We had an older dog that was bigger. And even though he wasn't aggressive, the cats were scared of him.
Yeah.
The cat was scared.
He wouldn't have given two shakes about it at all.
But she was scared. And so then we decided to get a second cat to keep her company. And
Rain.
Then, yes, and Rain. That's when Rain came into our life. And that was about 2 years ago. And then, Moonpie, 17, he went on to be a spirit animal in our life and not
he's
physically.
He's gone on to be with the Lord.
And he's not physically here with us. So we have started leaving the basement door open and letting the cats
have access to the whole house.
Yeah. And it took them some time, but we've been sleeping with all three animals in the bed, Butterfly the dog and the two cats. It's pretty intense. How do you feel about this?
And Butterfly still chases the
she
cat
has moments.
Sometimes.
She has moments
that she does not like the
this
cats.
This is not your house.
And I just think it's funny, though, that the two cats waited for the one that didn't care to die.
Well, Well, Butterfly is smaller than both cats.
Because Butterfly, if you guys know, or I mean don't know, she's a teacup poodle.
She's tiny. Well, in Nevada, they found some cats in a house.
Mm-hmm.
Three, to be exact. But these were not house cats. Authorities say a woman who asked them if it was legal to keep tigers at home in rural Nevada was arrested after police found three of the animals in her backyard. She's a 34-year-old. She called information asking about a permit for tigers. And days later, a resident reported the tigers and deputies went to the home. They also had learned she was wanted in Texas on felony burglary and theft warrants. Yeah, three tigers. How did you get three tigers?
Get three tigers? And how big a cat box do you need for three tigers? You just fill up a bathtub full of kitty litter?
I bet. Oh, my gosh. Like, I bet the tiger poop is probably as big as Butterfly.
Oh, if you know how bad tiny cat poop smells? I wonder if tiger poop is like that. That'd be a giant.
Yeah, if you walk into the bathroom right after the cat goes to the bathroom.
Whoa, you're like, Janet!
Or even if we're down here recording podcasts.
And the cat goes.
The cat goes. It's like, ooh, we're done. Have a good day. Peace out. Peace out. What was that?
One of the cats jumping around here.
And that's something I have to get used to. Like, when you're gone, the cats make noises. Like, when there's a dog, the dog stays with me, so there's not random noises. But, like, I'll be watching TV with Butterfly, and I, like, hear something downstairs, and I'm just like,
and it's probably a cat on the table.
That's a cat. That's a cat.
And it is. There's walking right there. I'm not used to seeing the cat on the counter. I was not raised that way. I've never, and now every once in a while, I
but
like you say, hear a noise, and I go, get off the counter.
It doesn't bother me because I grew up like that. Like, my dad's cat sleeps on the counter all day long.
Yeah, but they use the cat box.
I know.
The granules get stuck in the little, their little paw crevices.
I know.
And you're like, this isn't granola. I just broke a tooth.
I think that's why I am used to wiping the cabinet down before I use it and after I use it.
Oh, because of growing up. Kitty paws?
Yeah. Can I talk about something exciting that happened this week in my life?
Please.
Yeah. So Miranda Lambert dropped a new album. She did.
She dropped it like a deuce.
Don't say it like that. That sounds like there could be negative connotations there. It's called The Weight of These Wings, and it debuted November 18th. But if you're expecting...
Wait. It debuted what?
On November 18th.
Oh, I thought you said at 18.
No. If you're expecting an album about the heartbreak of divorce, you're in for a surprise. Miranda has told Billboard in an interview, I'm never going to have an album that's quote-unquote a heartbreak album. But besides an occasional tease posted on her social media, which there's been a lot. Like, this album has been marketed like nobody's
crazy
business.
Every time I turn on Facebook, there's two or three in my feed. It's like down the feed.
Lambert's talked about her album, but doesn't go much further than that. According to a Lambert insider who spoke with the New York Post, Lambert is refusing to do any interviews on purpose after watching how fellow singers ex-husband Blake Shelton and his current girlfriend Gwen Stefani promoted theirs. She only wanted to do TV performances. She made them turn all of it down. She said Gwen and Blake's albums didn't sell, and all they did was do press. She's trying to go Beyonce and let the music do the talking. So Gwen Stefani's album, This Is What the Truth Feels Like, which
did not do well.
Which is, she went through.
Yeah, her divorce too.
Yeah, did debut at the Billboard's top spot in March, but only sold 76,000 album units in the first week. Her last album debut in 2006 sold 243,000 in the first week. And the sales of Blake Shelton's album, If I'm Honest, debuted at number one at the end of May and sold 153,000 in the first week, making it the best country album debut since Carrie Underwood's album Storyteller in 2015. But total units are down from his last album, which sold 199,000 in the first week.
Maybe the album just wasn't good?
I don't know.
Could you buy it?
Blake's?
Uh-huh.
No.
I thought you forgave him.
I was still mad at him at the time.
Okay.
But I'm still not going to buy it.
But you forgave him now, huh?
Yeah.
And I have not heard all of Miranda's new album. I know you've heard it about 1,800 times now.
There's 24 songs, so it's going to require a lot of listening. And it's all very intentional. What she put on the album, like Pushing Time, is about how she met her boyfriend, Anderson East. It's really all laid out there. It's similar to what Beyonce did with Lemonade. It's about, is it about Jay-Z or isn't it? Did she really do this, or is it just songs? Yeah.
But I do know one of the songs on the album.
And I didn't know this.
Was written by a Texas singer-songwriter named Shake Russell.
Yeah.
It's called You Wouldn't Know Me. You wouldn't know me if you saw me now. That song. And you were playing it, and I'm like,
I know this song.
And I know Shake from years ago. I texted him and said, congratulations on getting the song on Miranda's album. And then I showed you his reply. Thank you, brother. It's huge.
Yeah.
So that will probably be a very big deal for him to get on some, on her album.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And again, I'm trying to listen to it. I know you're not a huge fan of new country, so I can't like listen to it constantly when I'm around you. Before you got home, it was like constant. I was carrying my phone around the house.
Oh, I figured.
So it's only been out for not even a week. And I want to say my favorite songs so far.
Pink Sunglasses.
Well, like I saw that title, like, okay. The night before it came out, I didn't sleep that well because I think it's because I went to the doctor and got a vitamin B shot.
Or you knew that it was coming out at midnight that night.
No. This was the night before. This was Thursday night. I didn't sleep well.
Okay.
No, Wednesday night I didn't sleep well. And so like when I got home from work Thursday, I was exhausted. I was in bed by like 8:30 and I'm like laying there and I'm like, crap. Her album drops at midnight Eastern time, which means it's 10 o'clock our time. I had pre-ordered it, but I wanted to see.
Wait up and get it.
So I did. And I made sure to all download it. I'm like looking through the titles and I'm like, Pink Sunglasses. And I hit play and it's like this like upbeat tune. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's speaking to me. She's talking to me.
Because you are Miss Pink Sunglasses.
Yeah. There have been a couple people that have direct messaged me and they're like, have you heard Pink Sunglasses? I'm like, yeah.
Because they know that is you.
Yeah. So that's one of my favorite ones. Ugly Lights is a good one. Smoking Jacket is good. And Tin Man. Those are my top four.
So top four out of 24 songs.
Yeah, so far. I love them all.
You've listened to every song, right?
Yes. Yes.
Do some of them not ring well with you? Just come like,
I like more of the upbeat music, and I want to say this album is kind of more of that traditional country sound where it's kind of like the, like I think there was one song that did the dum, dum, dum in the beginning.
Nick Near.
And I was like, wow, Steve will love that. So I think I use upbeat music to lift myself up. Uh-huh. So this might not be like a lot of the songs aren't going to be songs that I turn to for that. But it's still amazing.
Who do you put the album did she go like toward Pistol Annie, or did she go toward what's the other one the girl that I like?
Ashley Monroe.
I like Ashley Monroe, but the other one that
Casey Musgraves.
Casey Musgraves. Is she gone that sound with that kind of that?
No, I think it's a little bit more traditional. I think it's more like the Brandi Clark type sound.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you could mentally be open to a 2016 album that's under the genre of country music, you might like most.
Well, maybe I will give this a listen. Maybe I,
because you know, I said the same thing about
the couple of songs that I heard. Like I do like that Shake song, and I do like Pink Sunglasses. That stuck out to me. So maybe if
I
listen to the whole
Pink Sunglasses is probably one of the most modern sounding songs.
And The House That Built Me is one of my favorite songs. So I do like Miranda's stuff. I just get a little tired of the woman empowerment kind of.
There's not a lot of that. There's not a lot of that. No, there's not a lot of that. Something Bad. Like that was kind of an odd song. The one that her and Carrie did.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't like Miranda.
Okay, good.
But yeah, I find it to be a very good album.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for turning us on. I think we're hit an hour.
Sorry.
No. That was the good wrap up of, oh, wait. Let me do Let's do one more thing before we go.
Okay.
Let's do a movie review because we both went last night. We're going to give you a movie review.
I don't like being negative about things.
It's okay. That's what that's why we went to see the new Bad Santa 2.
Yeah, they made a new one.
Starring Billy Bob Thornton and Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
And as you can tell by her voice, she hated it.
Okay. Let me tell you.
Tell me what. Because I will tell you my – I loved it. You heard me. I laughed out loud. I was like busting a gut laughing.
Can
and
I
I'd look
you?
At you and you were like
– I wanted to walk out. So it hits theaters tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten Tomatoes has it at 33%.
Really?
Yeah. And I agree with Rotten Tomatoes for the first time ever.
But did you hear the people – the theater was laughing?
Yeah. And this description, fueled by cheap whiskey, greed, hatred, and lots of sex. That's not on this description. There's a lot of, like, awkward sex scenes. Like, it's just disgusting. It made me want to throw up.
It made me want to laugh out loud. You don't like Billy Bob Thornton, though.
But I could handle him in Fargo.
He was great in Fargo.
Yeah, I could handle him. Like, I got that. But, like... It's just like I could smell, like I could mentally smell his like whiskey cigarette breath and
that was
his filth.
That was the whole, it's Bad Santa. He was supposed to be like this drunken, alcoholic, wastoid Santa.
I just didn't like it. It made me feel very awkward.
So it's a guy, you'd say it's a guy's film. That's what you said.
You and your son were like laughing.
We were dying laughing.
The dude next to me, I think I made him uncomfortable because like he would like laugh and then he'd like stop.
He'd look at you.
I did
the same thing. I'd laugh and I'd look at you and you almost had fear in your face. Like
it was so, like I knew when you said, do you want to go to Bad Santa with me? My initial response was no. But I'm off this week. So I was like, I want to spend time with Steve. He's going to be traveling a lot and sure. I'll be okay.
Ugh. Okay. Well, for me, I would – let's say, would you recommend it to a friend?
No.
I would. That's our reviews right there. I would recommend it to a friend. She wouldn't.
No.
So, but we do hope you will recommend this podcast to more of your friends. Please. And tell people how to find us.
They can find us on Podbean. It's wrinkledsheets.podbean.com. We're also on Facebook at Wrinkled Sheets Podcast. We are on Twitter at Wrinkled Sheets, the number one. WrinkledSheets1@gmail.com. We're on YouTube. We have a vlog, Wrinkled Sheets.
The vlog is doing pretty good. We got like 40 new subscribers.
Good. Is that because of your viral?
It might be. Yeah. But I think a lot of people, we got a bunch of people because of the Hawaii stuff.
Yeah.
We vlogged while we were in Hawaii and we got a lot of followers.
And you just finished posting Hawaii vlogs, right?
Yeah. We were a little behind, but I shot so much stuff.
There was so much going on.
And I didn't want to have like 30 minute vlogs. I was chopping them up into, 10, 12, 20 minutes. And so they're all done.
Yeah. So share us with your friends. Let us know what you want us to talk about.
Please.
We just kind of sit down and talk about stuff that the two of us have thought about or done.
And any relationship stories that you guys find on the internet, like, just topic, relationship articles, good, bad, please send them to us at wrinkledsheets1@gmail.com.
Because I feel like I know a lot of my couple friends fight and like go through turbulence. We don't really do that. I think it's great. I think it's both.
You want to fight more?
No. I think neither one of us are confrontational, and it works.
It does.
We just kind of passive aggressive ourselves straight to bed, and then the next day we're
good. Yeah, if we're slightly annoyed, she goes to bed.
Yeah.
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
You don't say that just like you, that's it, I'm going to bed.
Well, I'm just not ready for you to call me cranky. So I'm like, all right, I feel that I'm being cranky. So I'm just going to
check myself out. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you.
On that note.
Until next time, she's going to bed.
No, I'm not.
No, she's drinking wine. Be sure to listen to her other podcast, Two Girls and a Bottle of Wine.
Bye.